Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello you, Pete Donaldson here with another advert. I'm pausing the football fun to tell you about a brand new product. You didn't ask for this, but it's happening, so strap yourselves in, alright? You've got a body. Have you ever considered cutting bits off it with our new razors, or resting it on a mattress, or making it watch some telly, or filling it with booze? But only the kind of razors, mattresses, tellies and booze that we say you should use. Here's how to do all of those things right now. Getting over to a website, www.etc. Here's what code to type in, ramble, at the checkout, and oh god, adverts are so boring. But my friends, you've wanted this for such a long time. We've listened and we've been working ever so hard to bring it to you. You can live an ad-free Football Ramble Daily existence if you head on over to patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Sign up and you won't hear another advert. So that's less of me, a confirmed sociopath, telling you, a normal person, to buy stuff. patreon.com/footballrambledaily for ad-free Football Ramble Daily action. And now, let's get back to the fun. I'd probably say something rude like bum in a bit, so look out for that.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. My name is Marcus Speller.
And my name is Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete.
Hi, everybody. Good to have you with us once again at the start of the so-called working week. Gentlemen, would anybody like to tell any stories of what they got up to on the weekend?
I had a barbecue on top of a chip shop.
Is that because you live on top of a chip shop?
Yes, yeah. It's not perhaps as odd as it sounds at first.
But it's like you're taunting them, isn't it?
Yeah. A little bit.
We can cook.
Yeah, we can cook as well. And there was a queue outside of people as well who were presumably hungry. So, double taunt.
Chuck them a sausage.
Chuck them a little batter sausage. So, is your fish shop actually open then?
It is, yeah. They're socially distancing. And they're being very good. But, they're still open.
Jim, do you the way you said that, it's like you don't know what a battered sausage is.
But on a barbecue, Luke?
No, not on the barbecue. Apologies, fair enough.
Yeah, that was what threw me.
You could have pre-fried it and then made a lovely kind of smoky batter, which I'm sure all you foodies out there know what I'm talking about, because I fucking don't. So there you go. I finished off a bottle of whiskey over the weekend.
Hey!
When did you start it?
Thursday.
Okay. You're getting better, or worse, as the case may be. Well, gentlemen, today there is a project restart meeting, which is terribly exciting. The PFA representatives for all the clubs will be involved. They're a bit disappointed because they thought they might get more leadership from the UK government on this. fat chance of that. But we'll see what happens in the meeting later. It will be about when players could return to training, and but not when the league will resume. The 18th of May has been mentioned, so that could be confirmed or put back today. Could be one of those headlines that, breaking news, nothing has been decided in the meeting kind of job. But the reports are suggesting the Premier League might relegate the bottom three if they don't agree to resume. So allegations of some sort of, I don't know, underhand play. But the clubs down the bottom are not happy about that, and they want to see relegation scrap. That's nothing new. But we could see a vote at the end of the month to determine whether the season resumes. That's what we've got at the moment. In a few hours after the show, that will probably change that news. So would anybody?
It probably won't.
I like the idea of, look, the players, the teams down the bottom of the Premier League are a little bit upset about the prospect of neutral grounds. What should we do? Let's just talk about relegating them anyway. That'll get them moving. That'll get them moving. How do you feel now? How do you like me now, Brighton? Yeah.
Well, I just don't understand how they're getting away with this. They're just sort of going, I'm willing to complete the season in an agreed fashion, but I will not be relegated for the things that I do in those 10 games. It seems a little bit mad.
Yeah, sneaky one.
Well, Liverpool might say that... well, we'll only play if you give us a Premier League title. Okay, fine. Yeah. You pretty much got it anyway.
Yeah, I like how these meetings have sort of replaced the fixture list. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, the project restart meeting coming up on Monday. Brilliant. Something's happening in football.
What are you up to? Fuck all. We've got another meeting? All right.
Yay. What should we do for it? We could schedule the next meeting if you want.
Agenda. Okay, everyone, thanks for coming. Agenda. What's everyone doing this time next week? Nothing. All right, see you then.
It's like one of our content meetings. We'll come up with something. Live show in November. Yeah, we'll come up with something.
No, our content meetings are, we all sit around and then Pete says, will anything we do be the worst thing we've done? No. Mm-hmm. All right, let's just do that then.
Yeah, correct.
Our content meetings are, we basically think, can we stay away from absolute rubbish? Yeah, just about. Okay, well, then we'll...
We are world-class content can kickers.
He says he'll only be involved if he could guarantee that we won't relegate him.
God, we are chancers, aren't we?
Well, the problem is, one of the troubling pieces of news, for a number of reasons, but just... Obviously, we take it in the context of football coming back. Is people were saying, "Oh, hang on, let's see how Germany does it." They, we know that they're pretty good at this sort of thing.
So they're kind of in Europe,
indeed. They're kind of seem to be leading the way on this. That's good. Okay, fine. They've said football. They're going to bring back football soon. Brilliant. We'll see how they do it. Absolutely excellent. Wonderful. And then a span has been thrown in the works of the Bundesliga as Dynamo Dresden players have been quarantined due to two of their players testing positive. So their match against Hanover, which was happening imminently, has now been postponed because they are out of action for 2 weeks. And you go, oh, right. So how is it? And the CEO of the Bundesliga, no, we're gonna crack on regardless. I don't care. And you think, well, hang on. But that situation can't sort of continue, can it? Because that'll be so stop-start. And you think, well, if they're sort of struggling now, how on earth is the Premier League going to have any hope of coming back?
But you look at how the whole government has dealt with this situation yesterday, and you sort of go, "Oh no! Like this is going to be a terrible situation." I just cannot see life getting back to normal in the way that we think it's going to get back to normal. It's certainly not going to get back to normal in football in the way we think that football should be back in situ.
But do you guys not think that the situation in Germany is that they're so far ahead of the rest of Europe that there's more than enough wriggle room for Dynamo Dresden to isolate as a group for 14 days and just play that game they were supposed to play against Hanover later, because they've got enough time to play all the games they need to play. So I don't think it's from a pure football point of view, I don't think it's a huge issue, but it's just whether it's practical, given that like this is the first piece of news we've seen come out.
Sure.
And it feels like it's getting to the point where they probably need to, maybe we all need to start thinking about things that are more important than football. That's what's being implemented, right? That's what's being got intimated, sorry.
Yeah, but with this Dynamo Dresden situation, though, they quarantine for 14 days. And then, okay, so then they come back to play Hannover. And then one of the Hannover, as they're just about to kick that off, the Hannover player gets tested positive. And they go, oh, sorry, we can't do that fixture. So they quarantine for 14 days. So you've got a month waiting for one single
But there's nothing to suggest that would happen to Hannover.
But it could happen to Hannover.
It could happen.
It could happen to any of the teams. And then you have this situation where, oh, that team, oh, they've got to be quarantined, so their fixtures get pushed back. And it suddenly becomes this sort of odd, sort of staggered situation.
But Marcus, that's what's confusing, right? Because there's supposed to be things in place to stop this happening to the players and to the staff and officials, right? And so that's what's confusing. This has happened. And they ran a test, a blanket test across everyone involved. I think there were 10 positive tests that came back out of just under 1,300 people. So I think it is confusing to most onlookers if Dynamo Dresden were following the protocol, how this could have happened. But it doesn't really seem that clear. So I know Javier Tebas, the guy who runs Spanish football, has got one or two opinions about it, which I won't repeat on here because they're probably problematic.
He often does.
We'll wait and see what comes out in the wash. We'll get Andy's opinion on it on Thursday for sure. And I think maybe more information would have come out by then.
I think that's probably the best idea.
Well, the rules about exercising with you can only exercise with people in your family and stuff like that. You're going to have footballing brothers getting involved. We're just going to have teams and teams of footballing brothers. That's the rules from our government.
Yeah, some teams will be in a sort of advantage in that sense where you know, you're at the point where I will sign with you if you sign my brother as well, like when Jonathan Benteke was at Palace.
The Hazards,
I think his name is Jonathan. Yeah, they Hazards.
The obese.
You're right. I'm all for it, more of it.
Do you think that the problem is it's they were trying to bring back football in an 11-a-side capacity? Because if you just take a few players away, I'm thinking for those north of the border, bring back, and Scotland seemed to need a solution rather quickly up there with the mess they're in, the tenant sixes they were called. Get, you know, five or six aside, I think that might be...
Is that not something you buy in an off-licence?
That five-a-side football that Chris Waddle played until he was 50. Remember when he was just scoring worldies from goalkeeping area? Yeah.
And then he got your haircut.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? A Pete's haircut, obviously, because he had mine in 90. Tenant sixes was, as it suggests, six aside, and it was all the teams in Scotland. I think it was at the end of the season, and they would play an indoor sort of six-a-side tournament. It wasn't bad. I mean, I remember
it like
very, very young. Yeah, it was. So it wasn't...
sounds boozy.
It quite possibly, Peter. But one of the solutions in terms of trying to combat COVID-19, well, I found this quite interesting from Turkey. Beşiktaş have installed a massive disinfection cabinet, as it was referred to, at the club's training ground. So a bit like it looked like something out of the airport, you know, if you sort of walk through and you get sort of sprayed. Mm. The Turkish Super League is planning to resume on the 12th of June. And I thought I quite like the idea of that. You know, you sort of go in and spray. You could, obviously, it would cost a few quid, but kind of standardise it all over the football.
Shower.
Well, this is it, Peter. I actually thought, you know, maybe years to come when we're back to normal, just have that for all fans. You know, spray a bit of cologne on everybody as they go in for a much more sweeter smelling football experience.
I think you're underselling how weird it looks. I mean, have you guys seen a picture of it?
It looks great.
It looks like, if you turned up walking down the street and you saw someone in that, you would think they had just teleported there.
Yes, completely.
Fly.
If you staggered out of that and just asked who the president of the United States was, people would think you were a time traveller. It looks absolutely amazing, and we should get one as soon as possible. We should turn our studio into that.
Have you seen those little ones that the Chinese kids got into school? Because obviously all of the schools have reopened. They've made these kind of like cutesy-looking kind of robots that just spray disinfectant into children's faces. It's so dystopian and frightening. I don't like 2020. I want to control-alt-delete it.
I quite like your shout of the fly, Peter.
You can sort of mash two players together by accident.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be brilliant. That'd be absolutely amazing. Like, if only Joe Linton had, you know, such and such his pace.
Yeah.
Sean Ameobi. Put all the Ameobis in there.
Oh, my God, imagine. Super Ameobi.
How many times have you heard, oh, if he's a great fullback, he's great at going forward, but he doesn't have the defensive capabilities of this guy. We put them together. You've got the ultimate fullback there.
Yeah, but what you guys are forgetting there is if you do exactly what Marcus has suggested, the other half of both those players is another player somewhere else who's still contracted somewhere. So for every kind of positive, there's going to be a fullback who's terrible at defending and isn't very good going forward.
Yeah, but then you sell them to a club further down the pyramid.
Newcastle will have them.
Like a cotton shop. A footballing cotton shop.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
Oh, maybe 2020 is not so bad after all. I'm quite into that idea.
Yeah, we're back in.
But it does look like the sort of things you get in movies when players when astronauts have just come back from space and they get all disinfected and cool. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it personally. I think it was great.
Although it
is open on two sides, which is not how they do it in the movies.
I envisage it having sliding doors like Star Trek, though, Jim. And don't disavow me of that notion.
You're probably right.
We've got a studio doing nothing up in North London at the moment. We could just constantly pump disinfectant into it.
That's the off. Oh, by the way, and usually that's the opposite of a disinfectant chamber.
Fart box.
Oh, fart box. God, that's a shame.
That's a low point.
Right.
That's a low point.
Let's move on from disgusting rumours. There's chat that the proposed takeover of Newcastle United could happen this week. And in light of this news, there are some players that are being linked to the club in the media. So the takeover hasn't happened yet, but it will probably happen, blah, blah, blah. So some of the players being linked to the club because of this: Jesse Lingard. Edison Cavani, he's getting on a little bit. Gareth Bale, Kalidou Koulibaly, Philip Coutinho, perhaps the most unrealistic one, Donny van de Beek, Rajan Nangalan, Peter, you'll be having that, and the most likely one, the most likely one, former Sunderland striker Fabio Barini.
How's he got in that room?
it's such a mixed bag that.
I obviously can't stand Alan Pardew, but he did make quite a salient point where he sort of said, that's the thing when you cast United, they always buy scoundrels. They always buy those players like Hatem Ben Arfa, Alisson Maximan, players who are incredibly talented but are flawed in a few different ways.
Robert.
And even if they've got all of... literally list any Newcastle United footballer for the last 20 years. But even when they've got a massive takeover and they've got this massive amount of money to spend, you're still getting these kind of players that are Nyangalans, people like that who are incredibly talented, but kind of flawed at the same time.
No, Cavani and Koulibaly, you wouldn't put in that bracket. Proper solid performance.
No, but there. Yeah, but like Coutinho's had a season off, hasn't he? So it's just like...
He's fresh. Coutinho would be a brilliant sort of like almost retro signing for Newcastle. Like just those goals from long range, just there's a little bit of the kind of the dazzle about it. I can see him being the sort of player that would have fit into Keegan's entertainer's side, like a modern equivalent of that. Like, can't believe we've got Tino Asprilla sort of thing, you know? I'd like to see that happen personally. Imagine it, Coutinho at Newcastle. It'd be brilliant.
It would be mad.
I could see Jesse Lingard going on loan, having an underwhelming on loan spell. Cavani, no way. Gareth Bale, do I need to say anything? Koulibaly, no chance. Coutinho, no chance. Donny van de Beek, I mean, he's got the world at his feet. He's been linked to the likes of Barcelona and so on and so forth. Rajan Angulan, maybe just for the lols. Fabio Barini, I can definitely see him going there.
Look, if Real Madrid can't fix Gareth Bale's body, I don't think Newcastle's crumbling infrastructure is going to be able to deal with that. He's not going to get on the pitch.
I don't think it's a question of Gareth Bale's body. It's more his mind at Real Madrid. Yes.
Handicap.
Exactly.
Mind and his golf handicap.
Yes. Now, did you all see that once again, ladies and gentlemen, Louis van Gaal's been piping up about how he was treated at Manchester United?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It was 4 years ago now.
There must be a newsletter, right? I'm presumably every now and then this comes up as just a cribbed highlight from a newsletter specifically about this that comes out every day.
No one's asking him. He's just calling up random journalists and just telling them.
Yeah.
He said,
"Here's my opinion, lady.
Don't give me big applause."
No.
He said the hardest thing at Manchester United was... I think there's a contradiction here. He said the hardest thing at Manchester United was trying to survive as manager when I had my head in a noose for 6 months. My wife warned me. She is a woman, and a woman has an instinct for things like this. I did not see what Woodward was up to. I really did not sense that they were plotting something. So when he talks about his having his head in a noose, he then says, I was unaware of it.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't have been a problem, would it, at the time?
You'd
have been
there is a hole ignorant. In that story, Detective Speller. You are absolutely right.
I would bloody hate to be a manager's wife. Like, they talk about management being the most stressful job in football. Imagine being going out with the manager. Good Lord. Yeah. The sleepless nights, the endless VHS watches.
It would not suit your lifestyle, would it, Pete, to be married to Louis van Gaal?
But I would drink about the same amount of whiskey as Louis van Gaal presumably does with that red face.
Yeah, well, Van Gaal, of course, he found out he was for the chop whilst still at Wembley just hours after they'd won the cup, which, I mean, I feel is a bit naughty, but then the whole thing seems a bit strange. But what I loved about this story or Van Gaal's latest comments on this story was he boldly proclaimed, what I achieved at Manchester United, getting them into Europe, which, you know, now you think, yeah, it was an achievement. And winning an FA Cup is always an achievement. He said, what I achieved at Manchester United, I consider the biggest performance in my entire career. And I thought, not winning the Champions League with that young Ajax side, beating that Milan side in the final, or even winning the Eredivisie with an unfancied AZ team. No. It was this.
I read that thinking that what he meant was that it was the most proud thing that he had done was managing a club so big at that time. You know, like he was... Because when Ajax did what they did, obviously they're amazing in terms of their story in European football, and they've achieved an awful lot. But when he took over at United, one of the biggest clubs in the world, and I guess he was just really proud to be there. Maybe that's a kind of translation thing. Yeah. Because I don't think is winning the league with AZ better than being Man United manager? Do you reckon?
I think it's a bigger achievement because they were unfancied side. Yeah. But I mean, in terms of bigger clubs, I mean, He definitely won the league. I think he might have won a double at Barcelona. I think he's basically saying, it's a bit like when Jose Mourinho said, finishing second with Manchester United. Didn't he say it was like one of the best achievements of my career?
Yeah. Yeah, so they just want to defend themselves. They just want to defend themselves against perceived kind of criticism because they didn't maybe do such an amazing job. So they're just trying to get on the front foot.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Yeah, I do.
The most recent thing probably seems like the biggest achievement as well, doesn't it? But actually, there's another quote from that interview, Marcus, that I think is really funny because Van Gaal was asked about Mourinho taking over because he was announced as manager something like 4 days after Van Gaal left, didn't he? And he said, in my opinion, it should be Mourinho who should speak up about what happened if he would be prepared to do so. Love that. Just throwing down that gauntlet.
Yeah, well, we'll look forward to those comments coming in the press very, very soon, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't believe he didn't point out as well, guys, that he also called Ed Woodward an evil genius. Which is like... I mean, not even Edward himself would. I mean, look at some of the things that have happened in his tenure. I'm not even sure he would agree that that's the case.
Yeah. A disorganized fool, you might call him, but an evil genius, I don't think.
Evil marketing genius, maybe.
No,
genius. Like a...
Evil genius, brackets, off the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bumbling evil. Yeah, I don't know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go for a quick break and we'll see you back here very, very soon.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We could call it Pete and Mark's Colossal Tussle.
But we didn't. We called it Wrestle Me. Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Peter.
A celebration of all things WrestleMania and beyond. And you may be thinking, I'm not really into wrestling. Well, don't worry. There's something for everyone. To be honest, it's mainly about stuff like this.
So hang on. Easy Lover was the original theme on WrestleMania.
It was. Someone heard it on the radio and went, that sums up everything about WrestleMania to me.
And this. You can really see the old back acne on test.
Yeah.
And this.
Is it worth reminding people of what Earthquake John Tenta looked like at 23 years old?
Yeah, I think so.
And this.
For the record, Marty has made it very clear, and I agree and believe him, that he has never, A, had sex with his daughter, or B, wanted to have sex with his daughter.
And the people behind the face paint doing the most unique job in the entire world. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. That's Wrestle Me.
Wrestle Me, Mark.
Wrestle Me, Pete.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Lukey Moore, you've got a big announcement.
Yes, it's not that big an announcement, Mark. So you may have oversold it a little bit there, but I don't mind that. I just wanted to make sure people had found the time to go back and listen to yesterday's episode of the book club called Building the Yellow Wall by Uli Hesse about Borussia Dortmund, the story of Borussia Dortmund. Andy Brassel, Kate Mason and myself went over the book and talked about it and kind of recommended it, I suppose, as a really interesting... Do you know what it is? It's Uli Hesse's love letter to the club that he loves, but the story around it is very, very, very interesting. So do go back and give that a listen if you haven't already. It's also expertly put together by Tom Wally, so shout out to Tom as well. Give it a go if you haven't already. And if you want to recommend any books that you'd like us to cover in the future, please do so. It'll be at Football Ramble on Twitter or at Football Ramble Daily on Instagram.
I'd like to recommend the book Playing for Keeps, which was then adapted to a film.
Marcus, what have I told you about this? You've already emailed me about that. I ignored it. I didn't miss it. I ignored it.
And we're not having that sneaking into the book club as well, Marcus.
Okay. Well, speaking of things sneaking in, Jim, it's now time for emails with PED.
You email show at Football Ramble Daily.
And you couldn't be more right, Marcus Speller. Martha Holly Starter email, hi all, currently lying in bed listening to your latest episode and I thought I'd let you know that there is at least one couple having sex to your podcast. Not the kind to make babies, though, hopefully.
Oh.
You said it, Marcus. My fiancé listens to you guys as he goes to sleep, and as we share a bed, this means I'm treated to your dulcet tones as well. As such, when the mood strikes, lovemaking often begins by listening. Or whilst listening. Hope this brings you joy. Thanks for making us laugh while one of us is missing football. From Mark.
It doesn't bring us any joy. It's horrendous.
I love how you say to me, Peter, you said this, Marcus. I didn't, did I?
Yeah, you said... Yeah, you kind of started it. Jenny Silver, friend of the show, Ramble Babies, an almost Ramble Baby here. I listened to a lot of Rambles while in labour with my second child in August 2018. That glorious summer of football mainly involved me being sick and memorably being admitted to hospital on the day of the England-Sweden game, meaning my very drunk, beer-soaked husband sobering up in world record time on arrival at the hospital straight after the final whistle. Sadly, I missed every game of the World Cup because I was sick, sleeping, lying, really still. But the Ramble kept me relatively sane. Roll in August and a three-day induced labour when I was encouraged to walk lots to get things going. Lots of rambles and OTCs kept me company as I walked miles around the hospital. Sadly, Marcus's dulcet tones did not encourage my daughter to get a move on. She was born by emergency C-section 3 days after I went in. Jenny Silver, thank you very much for that email. Hello to Jake as well. More strife in relationships. Jake, hi lads, the Pete's Film Club jingle, sir, just played during an episode I'm listening to, and my girlfriend said, this is the worst bit of the show. When I asked her why, she said it was because they were mean about dogs. And I'm assuming this is a reference to Soccer Dog 2, slamming from a few weeks back, but who knows?
We said that dog was the only good thing about it.
Yeah, we said that was the only good thing about that blummin' film. So, we love dogs. We are all dog lovers. Luke's more of a Kathmandu, but, you know, it's all good. It's a broad church. A person called Cameo's trying to advertise Cameo's film they were involved in making, Amar Akbar and Tony. Which sounds like a really fun film on Netflix after our foray into Brit/Indian cinema with Dana Dana Dangal. They're just basically advertising their film. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to stick it in there because I think it's nice that someone who's working in the film industry that's obviously, you know, not working at the moment, we can introduce them to some new Brit-Indian cinema.
Can I just chime in with something about Dan Dana Dangal? It took me until after we did the film on the show to realise this, but for some reason I didn't really sort of clock for ages that I really had I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor by Arctic Monkeys in my head all week around that, and I've realised it's because in the song he says your name isn't Rio but I don't care for sand and lighting the fuse might result in a bang 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 go, and it sounds like Dan Dana Dangal. And the rhythm, I must have heard the song and I can't stop thinking that he's now saying Dan, Dana, Dan, goal. You should listen back to it. Honestly, it fits absolutely perfectly.
Oh, I bet you look good in my film club. I tell you what, Scott Whitelock, finally for now. Bug of the Bundesliga, the K-League party is where it's at. We've got a K-League update, people. You might remember me from a couple of weeks back when I assigned you all of your K-League teams to follow, and I thought I'd drop back in and let you know how you've all done after the opening round of fixtures. Pete and myself were roundly embarrassed in front of a live stream of 3 million people on Twitter, as well as a live stream on the BBC, where our team, Suwon Blue Wings, were beaten 1-0 by the reigning champions, Jeonbuk Hyundai. We pathetically only managed one shot on target and had Aussie international Terry and Tunis sent off in the process. And just to rub it in, 41-year-old Middlesbrough reject Lee Dongook was the one to score. I think I saw that part of the match. It was a bloody good header, near post, kind of just sneaked it past through two defenders. 90 minutes of football had me wishing for another 3 months of lockdown. Marcus's Incheon United put in a very un-Sven-like performance, defending and scrapping their way to a scoreless home draw against Daegu FC. The only highlight of the game being an old-fashioned 90-minute man-marking job on Daegu star Brazilian. Luke's Yeongnam FC also registered a disappointing scoreless home draw in a game that will be best described as physical. They did have some chances though, so there's some hope for the future there, but Jim's pathetic of an excuse for a football team. FC Seoul were the real losers of the weekend after taking a one-goal lead against Gangwon FC, who are essentially a bunch of potato farmers in their spare time, to come back and score three, two of them being scored in the final 10 minutes. Imagine England actually losing that game to San Marino in the 90s and you'll have some idea as to how embarrassing this result is for Jim. Thank you so much, Scott, in South Korea for updating us on the K-League. A bit more of that. You can be our official K-League reporter.
There's been, like, I don't know if you guys have seen, like, there's been a little bit of this going around about the K-League kind of throwing a bit of shade at the Bundesliga, which is hilarious. There's a phrase being used is Karla Betrugerein, I think it's pronounced, and that translates as bald frauds.
Peter, you know that the team that I've been given to support, they drew 0-0, as you've already said, but they were relegated unexpectedly last season. So they opened the season with a 0-0 home draw in the division below in a very disappointing fashion. And so it just shows you that our email is absolutely spot on with this comparison to the team I support, because that is a familiar thing, let me tell you that. And shout out to James on Twitter, who is keeping me informed as well by sending me DMs about my Korean team. So I'm well across it. I'm going to be all right until football comes back in this country.
Yep. If you want to get in touch with the show, showfootballrambledaily.com.
Did you guys see this story about, you mentioned it earlier in the show about footballing brothers or sporting brothers, because we can only play sport with our own in our own households.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys see what Gary Neville sent to Phil on Twitter?
Yeah.
he challenged him to a one-on-one at a garden centre. I think there's been a bit of a movement for Sky Sports to get involved and film it. Why not? It'd be brilliant. Yeah. It'd be really niggly.
A football match, or just or is this like a street fight?
No, arm wrestling, like
a fox and stuff.
A street fight.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, the reason it's completely missed the point because there is absolutely no way, unless I've missed something really, really obvious, and I would quite like this to be true, but I don't think it is, that they live together still. That's not happening.
They're in the same family, though. They're connected by blood, which I think is the new rule. I don't know what the new rule is.
It's not the new rule, Peter. And you shouldn't put that kind of misinformation out to people because the government will do that without your help.
Oh, connected by blood. That's horrible.
That sounds like a Pete fucking gangster movie.
Yeah.
That's the synopsis of the film you're going to be watching next week.
Oh, dear. Well, I think that means it's time for Pete's Film Club.
Pete's Film Club.
It is time for Pete's Film Club, and I set you the incredible task of watching a film by the name of Final Score. The synopsis goes as thus. Gabby Logan and a panel of guests bring you results tables and interviews and reaction from today's Barclays Premiership, Football League and SPL games. Of course, that's not true. I'm reading the wrong description. When two terrorists kidnap ex-soldier Michael Knox's niece, he employs all of his skills to rescue her and possibly foil a plan of mass destruction as well. It took under $1 million at the box office and it cost $20 million.
The atmosphere is electric at the Bowling Ground tonight.
All right, let's do this.
Emotions running high in what promises to be a dramatic dogfight.
Let's get this show on the road.
Mr. Knox, listen to me very carefully. We have your niece. Somewhere in this stadium is Dmitry Belov. If he is not found within 90 minutes, we will detonate explosives killing everyone inside. The clock is ticking. Tick. Tock.
Oh my goodness me. So I'm going to put something out here quite controversial, and I'm going to caveat it first, okay? Because I already know Marcus's opinion on this because he's already told us, right? But within the confines, at least come along with me here and listen to the caveats, guys. Within the confines of Pete's Film Club, which is a barren, unforgiving wasteland, let's be absolutely clear, right? I didn't actually mind this. And for those who didn't get round to seeing it, you're about to get spoiled, you know, till between now and the end of the show, so deal with that. But for those who haven't seen it, like, it's basically like a quite shit Die Hard, right? And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Now, I've got loads of problems with it. For example, I was not ready for Tony Cotty to take a bullet, right? Yeah. that came out of nowhere. To be fair, get their attention, yeah?
Yeah.
He got my attention with that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I found it fast-paced enough to actually enjoy. It was absolutely ridiculous on every level, the most ridiculous part being that West Ham are in a European Cup semi-final, but I'm sure that joke's been made before. But I found it fast-paced enough to enjoy. And I have to say also, I found Dave Bautista quite watchable in a weird way, and I was obsessed, absolutely obsessed with that giant bad guy in the first half an hour. What a specimen.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The guy's huge.
Why kill him so early? He's the only bloke that can go toe-to-toe with a gigantic Dave Bautista, and does he get his hand in the fryer or head in the fryer?
Dave Bautista deep fries his face.
After deep frying his own
bad
hand.
Sausage.
Yeah, quite a bad face. I would agree with Luke. I think actually, given that he is a wrestler turned actor, Dave Bautista is actually pretty good. I mean, he had a brief role in Blade Runner 2049, which is obviously an excellent and very well received movie. And he was not out of his depth at all.
He's good in Guardians of the Galaxy as well.
Oh, he's very good at Guardians, isn't he? Of course, he's brilliant in that. Like, sort of goes without saying, I suppose, isn't it? But I agree with you mostly. Yeah, and I think it wore its ridiculousness well, didn't it? It knew what it was.
Yeah.
It was almost like they looked at those kind of straight to I guess now Netflix movies, like those kind of gangster movies you see advertised on at train stations with names like "We Still Kill the Old Way," like stuff like that. Like, yeah, let's just sort of like sneak Dave Bautista and football into that, and maybe we'll pick up an audience. And clearly, it didn't really, but still. But I mean, there's a bit where I can't even really remember how he gets up there. Somehow he's on a motorbike in the stadium and he ends up on the roof and he jumps from one stand to the other and nobody notices because West Ham score a free kick at exactly the right moment. So it makes a big enough sound, which is just brilliant. It's like a little boy's written that. And I'm into that. It's just great and really fun. And my favourite bit, though, was while the Russian guys are in the probably problematic Russian guys, accent wise, are in the sort of control.
Well, they're not Russians. They don't consider themselves Russians, right? They're separatists, aren't they?
Yeah. Well,
the whole thing was very confusing, I found. That's the one thing I would say about it. Like, the plot is quite confusing for a film of that nature.
Well, the motivations of the antagonist is, isn't it? But those Russian separatist guys, they're talking about what will happen if the target in the stadium is killed. And the police who are trying to stop this happening, they have an iPad where they have a little data projection called projected civil unrest based on what will happen if this guy dies, and it just really quickly calculates all the regions that will sort of, you know, start to revolt, and it's like, I'm sure that technology doesn't exist. Like,
Jim, there was also an amazing bit when the whole scene in question was about keeping this under wraps and that no one would be able to know, and no one in the street can know, and no one in the stadium can know what's happening because they've got to keep it under wraps. And after that's been made absolutely clear, the chief of police just gets out of his car, just screams at the top of his voice, "Get me the head of the SAS!"
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's the protocol, really.
I think, I mean, you're talking about all the technology and the projections and stuff like that, and all of, you know, the stupidity and silliness of it all. I mean, the most egregious fail, I think, on my part was that young lady who managed to sneak a whole bottle of vodka into a football ground.
Yeah, that would never happen.
To be fair, it was the lad who snuck it in, not her.
Who was the most objectionable character, Marcus, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was. Oh, my goodness, the worst. I mean, I thought this film was crap. I know what you mean. Clearly, it's far more watchable than some of the other films we've had. But in the context, bearing in mind the budget, bearing in mind the ambition of this film, I thought that it wildly missed the mark. And
I don't think you've liked many of the films at all, though, Marcus. I think you might be becoming the Michael Owen of the podcast. You've not liked any of the things I've sent you.
No, I'm not the Michael Owen because I've watched them.
He would watch
the Chris Sutton, but maybe, you know, I need to go to Russia and come back and I'm like, oh, I watched Final Score. It was fantastic.
Yeah, but Marcus, the thing is, right, I would say that I suppose I'm actually agreeing with you. When I said at the start what I thought, I did say within the confines of Pete's Film Club, I'm not saying that Final Score is going to be in my desert island film, you know, my death bed. No, I'm saying sometimes you get put into such a depression when you hear what Pete's going to give you to watch once a week and you know you've got to get 2 hours or something over that it's actually quite nice to have a film that is a coherent film with a narrative and something approaching looking like they knew what they were doing. That's what I mean.
And under 2 hours long. So, as soon as I saw it was under 2 hours long, I thought, well, you know, that's a win. Clearly it was, but that's what I mean. You've got the big budget. You've got, you know, at least two off the top of my head, you know, big actors in there. So so that's, you're dealing on a different level, but I felt that it was still a bit poor. Although Dave Bautista absolutely is very watchable. And I thought actually he was pretty good. And he can play that kind of starring role as a hero. I have to be honest with you, Peter. I didn't really notice his jeans throughout the film.
No, I didn't either.
His big dad jeans. Well, he's a gigantic man, and seeing him in his big dad jeans running around really made me kind of... I would sort of think, because I've interviewed him a few times, and genuinely, I just want to watch all of Dave Bautista's film. Whenever he's in something, I invariably watch it, because it's invariably on Netflix. But because I genuinely, you know, he's quite an inspirational character. You know, he's got like, he talks about the right things, he says the right things my opinion. And he started wrestling when he was like cracking on for his 30s. He came into that and he just through sheer force of will smashed his way through that fucking, through that system. And then
he
now
smashes his way horrific
his,
in this film.
I was going to say that.
and now he's starting his film career very late. And at every juncture, he got the same sort of advice that The Rock sort of got given, you know, slim down, get smaller, do all this stuff. And so he just tried, and he's just working and working and working. And I just love him. I love Dave Bautista. I think he's
so. Is
a,
he is
nice
he a good guy in person, Pete?
He's lovely, absolutely lovely. And his order at the popular restaurant chain Leon is chicken nuggets. So if you
can I just say I would pay like good amount of money. I reckon I'd get a good whip round among the gang here to get him to put you in some kind of wrestling move, Pete.
Bautista bomb. Well,
yeah. Would they ever do that? Is it seen as unprofessional? Would they ever do it, do you reckon?
I think it would be in some kind of insurance problem. Well, of course, he was the one who...
I'll sign a waiver, I don't mind that.
When Vince McMahon blew out his quads running into the ring, he was involved in that. So, I am involved in a podcast called Wrestle Me. If you just want to hear me talk about Dave Bautista for about 3 fucking hours, listen to that.
Marcus, can you think of anything particularly you did actually like about the film?
No, but I would like to bring to the table perhaps the worst/best bit of the film was when the you mentioned it. Was he the chief of police, Luke, or something? The actor,
whose name escapes me,
but he's quite a well-known English actor.
He is, yeah.
And at one point, there's a guy who I don't know where he's from. I don't know if it's the States or somewhere, but he's clearly not
dubbed, isn't he? That guy.
Yeah, it's a bit strange, but he's not English. He turns up as some sort of a special intelligence kind of guy. You know,
it's
who
not
goes
really explained, is it? Who he is?
It's not explained, and he doesn't even explain it himself. But he's enjoying having a hot dog while it's going. Yeah. So at no point does the copper sort of say, "I'm sorry, right? You've sort of joined this situation and are now calling the shots. Who are you?" Because that might
he doesn't
be
even show a pass.
Yeah, the big gag in that scene is that a man, he does exactly the same as in Die Hard. He gets the police's attention by throwing a body off the roof. It lands on a hot dog truck, and then this new kind of like wild kind of police authority just starts having a hot dog that he's just taken out of the. Out of the machine right next to him.
If you guys look back, right, what you've got to do, if you get a chance, I imagine you've got many, many things better to do with your time, but maybe if you're listening, you fancy just having a muck around, go back to the scene where they take over the TV studio, and this is what I'm talking about, Tony Cotti gets shot,
right?
Oh, my
goodness.
But it goes on for a few minutes before that, and they make the presenter read out a pre-prepared statement, right? And in the background, Tony Cotti's in shot, right? If you watch Tony Cotti's face that entire scene, it is absolutely hilarious.
Proper overacting.
it's like someone said to him, Tony, all you got to do is be yourself, and he can't even do that. It's amazing. No.
Yeah, it's class.
Pete, did you quietly refer to him as Tony Shotty then?
He took a lot of shots in his time.
He did. Don't hide that under a bushel, for crying out loud.
Jonathan Pierce is involved as well. I thought he did okay.
He did
all right, but Pierce was unaware of what was going on. They just said commentate on the match. But
well, it's usual, isn't it? It's
exactly.
Usual stuff.
That's where we should keep him. But the moment in the film that I was going to say that is the best/worst moment of the film is when clearly the good guys, and then they've turned the tide and they're starting to kind of get a bit of progress in the situation. And the guy, the English or police guy says to this other guy, because the other guy keeps referring to it as soccer, obviously. And at one point he goes, right, we got the wind up our sails. And he basically takes back the situation and he punches him in the face and goes, and it's football, not soccer. And it's like, oh, God.
I do like that anyone who doesn't enjoy soccer or football genuinely thinks an actual football fan gets really angry when people call it soccer. I call it soccer all the time.
The biggest flagship show on Sky Sports is called Soccer Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one cares.
Soccer is short for association, isn't it? And we actually came up with it. And then we tell Americans that they get it wrong, even though it's from us. So, sorry, America.
Well, I'm not sure. I think there's, because it's always been football here, if you think about the Football Association. You know, it was called football for many, many years. But ultimately, you know, it is called Soccer Dog. It's not called Football Dog.
Yeah, rightly so.
Maybe we could remake Football Dog. We could probably match the budget.
And the quality.
Anyway, overall, I thought it was okay. It was probably the most enjoyable one in terms of I didn't care that I wasted an hour and 40 minutes of my time watching it, and that is the bar's been set.
It's the most current one.
That's true.
Yeah. Well,
I do fear, Marcus, this is what I fear. Whenever we talk about running times and things like that, I feel like we're putting our heads in a lion's mouth, knowing that we can decide what happens.
We're showing our hand.
True. I'm poised for the next runtime, Pete. What's our next movie?
Well, I've not got a runtime for you, Luke, but we are going back to the well. It's rapidly depleting. Newcastle United soccer star Santiago Munoz lands a deal to play for Real Madrid. However, his move brings about various changes in his behaviour, and his loyalties to his friends and family is tested next week. Monday, we're doing goal two.
Yes!
Watch it!
Come on!
Yes.
Hour and 55.
Hour and 55.
We did predict, didn't we, that goal would seem like this. Goal would seem amazing.
I think final score is better than goal.
You reckon?
Yeah. I think final score. Actually, one of the things that was quite refreshing about it was the lack of like movie football. There's barely any in it, and it works better.
That's just West Ham. That's how they play, mate.
The football scenes were okay, actually.
Yeah. Goal two, all right.
But yeah, I'm happy with that goal two, because if I'm honest with you, Peter, I haven't seen.
You just like the football, don't you, Marcus? You don't like any of the drama. You just want
you
to
are
see more
Michael
football.
Owen.
None of that's true, you maniacs. But I fancied seeing goal two, but then I thought to myself, well, I don't really, because it'll probably be crap, and what's the point? Whereas now you've kind of given me the opportunity, and I do feel this is an opportunity.
Marcus, I don't know whether I'm allowed to say this on the podcast, but your good lady wife is involved in the film industry. Has she watched any of these films with you?
The final score was the first one she watched because she has worked with Dave Bautista before and can confirm he's a lovely chap. I think that that experience of me going, oh, let's sit down for Pete's Film Club has put her off Pete's Film Club.
Put her off me.
And that was one of the better ones as well.
Can I just say, the very idea of me uttering those words to my wife would be divorce papers instantly.
It's soccer dog. Yeah. Soccer dog, Mimi.
Exactly. So excellent. Goal two. I think it was something we're all looking forward to.
Yeah.
Excellent. It's when goal three
That's
is
overstating
on the table.
It, but fair enough.
That'll be a problem. So there we are. There we are, ladies and gentlemen.
This does make goal three seem like a frightening inevitability, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yes. It does.
That's
it
what
does.
We're going to be finishing on.
Yeah.
Once we get back in that studio, that's the film we're going to do.
But with the chat from Kuno Becker himself of goal four, we've got to get on board, Jim. We've got to get on board.
Yeah, right. If we don't get on board soon, he'll have made it.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be playing catch up.
Oh, Gordon, that's the last thing we want. Right, ladies and gentlemen, the thing
I just really love that you dispensed with Gordon Bennett's surname there. Is that up, Gordon?
Appreciate it.
On first name terms now, you're so frustrated by Pete's film.
What I was desperate to say was that the thing we all want is the end of this podcast today. And we finally got there. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the Football Ramble or Football Ramble Daily. Tomorrow, Jules and Andy are back for some more coherent football chat, I would suggest. So do get your ears around that. And of course, don't forget the book club, which Luke, Kate and Andy did all about Borussia Dortmund. And the first one as well, actually. All about Brian Clough was really good, so get your lug holes around that as well. So thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you
very much, Jim Campbell.
Cheers.
Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye, soccer dogs.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.